Vice President for Development. Thank you, gentlemen. Now, I've asked that we could have a few materials distributed to you. There would be one copy of this yellow form and of this booklet for you to have. And I'd like to explain what those are. And in addition to what we will be distributing here, there are plenty of copies of our latest catalog up on our display. Last time I looked, the seminary display and Ridge Havens were the only two left up there. So you can easily find this now. But this is the appearance of our catalog, and you're welcome to take one with you. And we want you to have those in every church as you share them with young men, particularly who are interested in training for the ministry. But besides that, we'd like you each to have a copy of the July issue of Timeless Insights. This is a daily devotional material. It comes out every month from the seminary with usually a chapter of Scripture and then a comment from one of the saints of the past. We've had many people express appreciation of this, and we encourage you to make use of that. The yellow form is for you, if you're interested, to subscribe to the seminary's journal. And you could begin with the current issue, a double issue for 1981, actually. The next issue has not yet appeared. But it happens to be a commemorative issue for Professor R. Laird Harris. And so I think you'd be especially interested to have this. Nice picture of him in the front. It would be a marvelous memento of this historic joining General Assembly. John Sanderson has written a biographical introduction. The volume contains several of Dr. Harris's shorter writings from the past and a few that are new. And then in the back, one of the assistant librarian at Covenant Seminary has prepared a bibliography of all of Dr. Harris's work. One thing that you may not have realized is that Dr. Harris, before training in theology and biblical studies, Old Testament specifically, had training in science. And he has maintained his interest particularly in the Bible and science, and three articles in here are on that subject: An Alternative to Evolution, the Bible and Questions of Cosmology, and Archaeology. So the price is $6 for this double issue, and then $6 for two issues per year. If we could have a box put up here at the front, you could turn those in before leaving the assembly, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of this issue of Presbyterian. Now, just a word or two further introducing the seminary. The seminary has been accredited since 1973 by the Regional Accrediting Association for our part of the country, the North Central Association. We are expecting accreditation. We're now candidates for accreditation with the Association of Theological Schools. And we will be submitting a self-study this coming fall and expect an evaluation visit in the spring leading to that. We also work in cooperation with the other NAEPARC seminaries. There are three things of special interest to you here at the General Assembly that I want to mention, and then just to conclude with a few quotes from our statement of purpose before commenting on the remaining two recommendations from the Committee of Commissioners. Those three items are, first, our Southeastern Extension. Just this past year, we moved into Central Georgia and had five of our students who had finished 2 years on campus begin the completion of their Master of Divinity degrees, working under supervision, and this time all PCA churches in Central Georgia, particularly First Church in Macon, but also four others in that region. We're expanding the extension this next fall, moving into the Greenville, South Carolina area as well, and we'll have a total of 9 men. We hope to see that expand very soon to from 15 to 20. So I've mentioned we already have some members of this assembly working. At least one, Gary Aitken, has finished the Doctor of Ministry program at Covenant Seminary. David Bryson, I think there's some others that are in that program now. We want to make that known to you as a program we feel has very great value for the continuing education of those who've been in the pastorate at least 3 years. And you can apply to enter our Doctor of Ministry program. Also, we have a new THM program that I would mention. It is particularly designed for men who have been trained at seminaries other than ones in the Reformed tradition, but have come into the ministry of this denomination, who would like to spend a year or two to dig into biblical theology and distinctives of the Reformed faith and polity. It's a rather open curriculum for this degree, but a THM degree can be received, say people who are graduates of Gordon Conwell or Trinity Seminary and want to get more acquainted with what the Reformed tradition has. I'd like to conclude my remarks by just reading a portion of our statement of purpose, which I think you'll find very similar to the slogan of the PCA from its earliest days, of being true to the Bible, to the Reformed faith, and faithful to the Great Commission, obedient to the Great Commission. We have 6 points that our faculty and board have adopted that describe the purpose and mission of Covenant Theological Seminary as distinctive. Number one, submission to the will of Christ as revealed in the inerrant scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Number two, commitment to the development of gospel ministries holding to the Reformed faith as summarized in the Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechism. Number three, emphasis on obedience to the Great Commission in providing training for pastoral ministry and missionary service. Then number four, cultivation of the biblical principles of a dynamic spiritual life. Number five, promotion and maintenance of the purity, peace, and unity of the church. Number six, submission to and service of the church in the total endeavor of the seminary. We go on to say these 6 principles serve to identify Covenant Theological Seminary as an institution in its distinct capacity as an agency of the church and trusted with the task of theological education. We found that many of the commissioners, as we sit with you at meals and so on, are just having it dawn on you that, lo and behold, this church, this assembly, now has a theological seminary of its own. And we're pleased to serve you in that capacity. We've always been a denominationally related seminary. We believe it's proper. We want to be that way. We want to be in submission to the church of our Lord Jesus Christ and to serve that church. And so we welcome the relationship that we expect to have with you. We look forward to God's blessing upon you and us as we seek to serve you. That completes, and maybe I've gone beyond my 15 minutes, but the Committee of Commissioners Chairman has asked me to comment also on the recommendations 2 and 3, if that's appropriate now, Mr. Mutter. Recommendation number 2 has to do with the granting of permission to the seminary to present its ministry to the presbyteries and local congregations, and the assemblies encouraging the churches to contribute financial support to the seminary. As I understand the joining and receiving process, both Covenant Seminary and Covenant College were not to be included in the formal asking. Come out of the stewardship committee. And we do, however, obviously need support of the church. I think a corollary of the governance that we have from the church through the Board of Trustees, which you will elect from now on, is that there be also support. And we feel that as God's people support the seminary, they also become involved with us in prayer. And we welcome that, even if it is a modest amount, but regular support that will have your people remembering us and the crucial role that we have to play with the churches in carrying out the Great Commission. And so our desire is simply to have the opportunity to come to presbytery meetings, to have various ones of our faculty, and we have many who are excellent speakers, to come into your churches, be able to minister the Word of God, but also ideally to meet with your session. and to talk about the total program of the seminary, what students, prospective students you may have, and how also you can contribute to the financial need of the seminary, and how we can serve you. We need to be in touch with the churches to know what is needed as we continue to modify our curriculum and our instruction. And then with regard to recommendation number 3, you can tell from the trustees that we have, one of our concerns has been to have continuity. We have been structured in the RP Synod with classes of 3-year terms, and then the ability for men to be reelected after a second term, it has to be by a 2/3 vote. We have one of the men who just went off, I think, had served for 21 straight years. Now, that is not the way this assembly has operated. And frankly, I welcome the grassroots approach that the PCA has. We want to get many of you involved on our Board of Trustees in due time, because we feel that's the way you'll get acquainted with the inner workings of the seminary and become faithful supporters of the work there. The problem is, and this would be true of Covenant College as well, where I do serve as a trustee, educational institutions are rare birds. They're peculiar enough that it takes usually 2 years for trustees really to become effective, to learn the ropes and begin to understand how it all operates. And so our bylaws provide now for 2 consecutive 4-year terms, and then a man must go off for at least 1 year. And this has been what the ad interim committee worked out with our fraternal relations committee and was part of the joining and receiving process. But in addition to that, we're concerned that we'd be able to have some measure of consultation with the nominating committee of the General Assembly. We feel that it's proper for the names to be generated from the presbyteries, but we'd like to be able to communicate to that committee as it screens those names and brings them before the General Assembly some of the needs and some of the concerns that we at the seminary would have. And we're simply, I should say, the Committee of Commissioners is recommending that there be that possibility by recommendation number 3. Thank you very much.
Yes, number 7.
I'd like to address a question. I'm Pastor Bill Rose from the Woodland Heights Presbyterian Church in America in Warrior Presbytery. I would like to be able to address a question to Dr. Barker. Most of the men in this group do not know that our seminary has a monthly prayer letter called the Intercessor, and I would like to know how he can get this information before them. Maybe when he comes to the presbytery, he can bring them. But I pray for the seminary every day because they have an intercessor, which is sent out. Mm-hmm.
Will?
Right now, the intercessor goes to our donor list, and we're appreciative that Pastor Rose is on that donor list. In addition to that, he has shared the prayers with his people at prayer meeting every Wednesday, prayer requests from the seminary. We can make that available in bulk form to every church. We like to have the contact with individuals by way of the donor list and make those prayer calendars available that way. But I think we could make them available at these church attorneys.
At least for 15 months.
Right.
Number 7.
The moderator, Bernard Kuiper, Southwestern Presbytery. I wonder if it's in order for me to just make a motion. Move you, sir, that the report of the seminary be given at the beginning of the 1983 General Assembly. If there's a second, I'd like to talk to you for 2 seconds.
The move and second that the report of the seminary be given next year at the beginning of the assembly. This would make the balance about even, you know, the average would be okay.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. You've spoken to it.
Thank you. Mr. Moderator, I would assume that means after the regular preliminaries that are set forth in the regular standing rules of the assembly operations. Early on the first day after we get started.
Mm-hmm. Any objection to this? So those in favor of this, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Contrary sign? I see no one at all. Thank you. Now, we proceed.
Yeah, we're having a
We proceed to the other recommendations, and this is it.
Recommendation number two, that the Assembly grant Covenant Seminary permission to present its ministry to presbyteries and local congregations, and that the Assembly encourage local congregations to contribute financial support to the seminary. I move that this be adopted.
You've heard this motion. You've also heard some argument for it. Mr. Barker, any further comment that needs to be made? Ready to vote? Those who favor this, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Passed.
Recommendation number three, that the Board of Trustees of the Seminary be permitted to consult with the Nominating Committee of the General Assembly when nominations of new trustees are considered.
It's moved.
I recommend that this be adopted.
It is moved, and we've heard some arguments in favor of it already from Dr. Barker. Those in favor, there are some someone speaking the floor. Number eight.
John Clement, speaking Alder Mid-Atlantic. I move the following amendment. Amend recommendation number three by changing the word consult with the nominating committee to read, communicate with the presbytery. If I get a second, I'll speak to it.
Second.
Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren, I am a graduate of Covenant Seminary. I have some gifts in preaching. I learned them at the feet of Bob Rayburn. I have some gifts in church government and policy. I learned them at the feet of George Knight. I don't have too many gifts in systematic theology, but David Jones and Bob Rayburn tried very hard in that area. I went to seminary hating church history, and Will Barker has turned me into an advocate of it. There is no finer seminary in this country than Covenant Theological Seminary.
Here, here.
But fathers and brethren, there is a dangerous precedent in this recommendation for any board or committee to consult with our nominating committee. And I don't come out of the PCS background, but I am sensitive to the background you other gentlemen have come from. I know that Covenant needs to show the trustee development, the need for their trustees, and the place they ought to do that is at the presbytery. Our nominations come from the presbytery. And they should go to the presbyteries and communicate, I think is a better word than consult, and tell our presbyteries what they want in terms of trustees. The nominating committee can't consider anybody else anyway. I just urge you to support this amendment so we, as much as we can trust Covenant Seminary today, with this precedent on the books, we would not do well in the future. I urge you to vote for the recommendation, but to amend it this way. Thank you.
Was there someone here at four that wanted to speak? I think not. You're speaking on the amendment, number two.
I'd like to, Mac Mayor, speaking Elder St. Louis Pastor, I'd like to make an amendment to the amendment. The amendment will be to leave in the words permitted to consult with the nominating committee and communicate with the presbytery. With the seconded, I'll speak to it.
The amendment was that the seminary be permitted to communicate with the presbyteries, and you're adding to that, and communicate with the nominating committee?
And be permitted to consult with the nominating committee.
Permitted.
And.
Yes, and permitted to consult. Okay, I think that that's a valid amendment to the amendment. It can be taken as an amendment to the main motion. That I think would be appropriate here. You seconded, I believe. Did you speak to it? No.
Yes, I can appreciate the point that John Clements makes, and I presume I'm demonstrating insensitivity to it, but the thrust that the initial motion makes really has involved an ongoing educational piece of work because of the specific work that has to be done with these men. And I believe that if we are in fact communicating with the presbyteries, which I really appreciate, and yet have the opportunity to consult with the nominating committee, we will in fact still not control in any sense, since the nominating committee cannot add anyone, and yet reflect the specific needs.
Thank you. Number four, you're speaking on the amendment.
Yes. Mr. Moderator, Paul Settle, speaking over there from Calvary Presbytery. It is with great reluctance that I rise to speak against the amendment to the amendment, and for the very same reasons that Mr. Clement gave. We have, though I am in full accord with the desire of the Board of Trustees and the administration of the seminary to secure the most highly qualified men possible for the Board of Trustees, and I'm sure that we all are aware of the necessity to maintain and to maintain as high a level of quality as possible so that our seminary might be kept the fine institution that it is. It simply has not been a part of our, not only our tradition, but it has been very much a part of the very philosophy of the PCA that the nominating committee not be given direct access to by anyone, and no one is given direct access to that committee. In last year's assembly, we adopted this item relative to the college and the seminary. The General Assembly shall elect subsequent trustees through its regular nominating process. These institutions may suggest nominations to the presbyteries, or interested commissioners may make nominations from the floor of the General Assembly. Now, I believe that this adequately covers the issue. It guards the nominating committee from undue pressure from outside influences, which is not at all to suggest that our seminary men may place undue pressure. We're very sensitive to their need and their desires, but at the same time, this does guard that philosophy which has been ours from the very beginning. And I would speak against the amendment to the amendment.
Can we come to a vote on these things? The amendment to the amendment, can we put it before you? Amendment to the amendment is to add this business of consult with the nominating committee. Words to that effect. Those in favor of adding this amendment to the amendment, please raise your right hand. Or those opposed, please raise your right hand. It loses. The amendment to the amendment is lost. The amendment itself be permitted to communicate with the presbytery of the General Assembly. That amendment, we're ready to vote on that. Those in favor of that amendment, please raise your right hand. And those opposed, you write the same sign. That amendment passes. And then the point as a whole, the third paragraph as a whole, ready to vote on that. Those in favor, please raise your right hand. Thank you. And those opposed, same sign. It is adopted as amended. Thank you. This concludes the report.
Yes. I make a motion that the report as a whole, as amended, be received and approved.
Yes. Heard that motion, the report as a whole. Yes. Number two.
Mr. Moderator, Frank A. Smith, teaching elder of the new Presbyterian Northeast. I have a question with regard to the minutes of Covenant Seminary. The minutes of Covenant College were dealt with. I'm wondering, I understand the minutes perhaps were not given until just a couple of days before the committee commissioners met. But I'm wondering what can be done concerning this. They weren't even reported.
Mr. Moderator, if I may speak to that, you'll notice that the way in which the typist typed it up, she was aware that minutes had been presented. Apparently, the secretary of the committee wasn't aware that that should be reported. But item number one would include the list of the minutes that were presented to you. And I think it would be appropriate, sir, if you could make a motion as to whether they were approved.
We did read these minutes, and we did approve them as a committee of commissioners. There was no problem with that.
A little louder, a little closer.
I'm sorry. We did read the minutes of the seminary, the executive committee, and we found no problem with them. The gentleman that we talked to answered all questions that we had concerning these things.
They report then that the minutes were accepted and were
some supervision of the minutes.
Yes, and they were approved.
Mr. Moderator, if I may then, as I write up the minutes of the assembly, just I'll note what minutes were given to them and then also indicate that they were approved.
So satisfactory? No objection? So done. Then we did approve the report as a whole, did you? No. Except the report as a whole to be acted upon. Those in favor of accepting the report as a whole, approving it, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those opposed, same sign. It is done. Now, the next item is the Christian PCA Foundation. The next item is called for is the report of the PCA Foundation, which we understand to be brief.
A concern was expressed a moment ago that Dr. Barker would be speaking to a very small body, but I wish to tell Dr. Barker that through a process of winnowing, he now is speaking to the elect. Harold Borchert, teaching elder, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. You might ask why I'm giving a report of the foundation, and my reply would be, Lord, I, only I am left. If you will look at page 103, the blue sheet, I'll quickly come to the recommendations with your permission. The report of the Committee of Commissioners on PCA Foundation, you may read the first three parts. Recommendation one. Thank you, John. John Wingard, you might note, is the sound man on the floor. I have to repeat that. Recommendation number one, the Committee of Commissioners noted that the... Yes. Sorry. May we open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask thy forgiveness and thy forbearance with us when we, in our haste to move, neglect to call upon thee and to seek to think thy thoughts after thee. Bless us and correct us when we need correction, and lead us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first recommendation is that the Committee of Commissioners noted that the PCA Foundation met once on September 25, 1981. However, no minutes of the foundation were recorded or presented. Therefore, the committee recommends that the General Assembly direct the PCA Foundation to record and present proper minutes for all meetings.
Any questions or objections? If not, it stands approved.
And there's a desire from Mr. Howland that that be explained. I think it would be fair to give him that opportunity a moment.
Okay.
Mr. Moderator, if you'll notice up in item 1A, resolutions of written consent from the PCA Foundation that were referred to the committee. At our annual meeting, one of the Board of Trustees, excuse me, got sick at the last minute and could not be there, and we did not have a quorum. And operating in accordance with the rules, when this happens, you can send out resolutions of written, unanimous written consent to all members of the committee from the actions taken at that meeting. And if the consent is unanimous by a signed document returned with the minutes or the notation of the actions taken at that meeting, then they become the minutes of the meeting. And that was done, but I don't believe the committee of commissioners understood that those resolutions of unanimous written consent were our minutes, and they were in order according to the stated clerk.
Thank you. Item number two, that the 1981 audit be received as information. So moved.
Moved. Any questions? Any objections? If not, stands approved.
Three, that the Assembly direct the PCA Foundation to include in their minutes specific descriptions of the recipients to which designated contributions were distributed. So moved.
Heard the motion? Any questions? If not, stands approved.
Item number four, that the resolutions by written consent of the Board of Directors of PCA Foundation, unquote, be approved. So moved.
Are these what we just referred to?
Yes.
That's in a sense minutes then. Any questions about number four? No objection, question? If not, that stands approved.
5, that the report of the PCA Foundation, page 1001, be approved. So moved.
PCA Foundation, you already have that, I believe. Been discussed? Any discussion? Questions? If not, that too is approved.
Item 6 has already been approved previously under budget presentation. It's not necessary to vote on this now. Item, what's that? Oh, not CNR, but JNR. We didn't like JR because of Ewing sanitation. Item 7.
7.
That each assembly, be encouraged to participate in WILL seminars for the benefit of their members. I so move.
Discussion? No objection? That stands approved also.
Item 8, that each church be encouraged to participate in the memorial gift program. I so move.
Any objection? Question? If not, that stands approved.
The last item, item 9, is really incomplete or out of order at this point. And in order to bring a prepared statement in replacing number 9 from Don Clements, who is prepared to speak to this and bring a recommendation in, I would recommend that item 9, and I'm recommending this individually, be disapproved in order that we may get the correct interpretation here in item 9. If you understand, vote this item 9 down. It is now before you.
Suggestion is, if you have a personal suggestion, that item 9 be voted down and be replaced with something else. Would it not be possible for that to be substituted?
That would be an approach, and we discussed that, but it would appear that, all right, Don, Mike 11.
Mike 11.
Don Clements, teaching elder Mid-Atlantic. Just to recall to your mind, gentlemen, that on Tuesday, under Committee on Administration, we adopted a motion very similar to this concerning the foundation. It was one I made an amendment to allow the employees to remain on the board. I don't believe we need a substitute. It's already done under administration. This one, if we passed it, would be in conflict with it. But since the committee commissioners had met and is bringing it to us, it must be put on the floor. I just urge you to vote it down. What we did under administration on Tuesday covers it quite nicely.
You heard the explanation? Ready to vote? Those in favor, please raise your right hand if necessary. Those opposed, please raise your same time. It is voted down. Thank you, sir.
And confusion reigns. Thank you very much. That concludes the report. Signed by Al Latour and Stephen Stout, Secretary.
Now,
move the acceptance of the report as a whole, as amended.
Move that the report as a whole, as amended, be received and adopted. Those in favor, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Opposed, same sign. It is done.
Mr. Moderator, we have two or three small items that we could go ahead and clear. Is there anyone still here from the Committee on Bills and Overtures to make that report? We have a copy of the report, which one of us could read, but I'm wondering whether anybody is here from that committee. We'll hold review and control. Examining committee. Is there anybody from the Assembly Theological Examining Committee can report on the examination of Mr. Hughes? That can just be an oral report if we have anybody here. And Mr. Moderator, I think Mr. Culver should be aware. Is Mr. Culver here? John Culver? Or Dr. Dan Moore? Dr. Moore, could you, right while we're passing out things, present for us the minutes of the Board of Directors to be reviewed or to have to be approved by the Assembly? They're in the back of the handbook. It's in the 200 sections. It's page 201. the assembly, the board of directors is the committee on administration when it feels that it must act on anything in behalf of the assembly, between assemblies, and their minutes must be approved by the whole assembly. In other words, they could take action in behalf of the whole assembly. So the one meeting, I think, is found on page 201, and if Dr. Moore could just simply present that, then we just approve those minutes.
I don't seem to have
number 201. On page 201, the minutes of the Board of Directors of February 12, 1982. This is a matter that was handled concerning the funding of the foundation and the stewardship subcommittee. The 1981 General Assembly action was not entirely clear, and Board of Directors met on this matter and adopted a temporary formula, which was finally resolved by the Committee on Administration. The undesignated gifts during 1982 are, by order of the Committee on Administration, divided 25% to each of the four committees. That is the Committee on Administration's understanding of the 1981 General Assembly action. I move this to the adoption of these minutes.
May I ask you, where are you reading from? This is up page 201.
Oh, yes, page 201, the third paragraph. This is moved. It's a matter of distribution of undesignated gifts. You ready to vote? I see no one seeking the floor. The approval of these minutes to the Board of Directors, February 12, 1982. Those in favor of such approval, please raise your right hand. Thank you. The contrary, same sign.
Dr. Moore, was there an annual meeting of that board at this assembly? Is that not part of the bylaws? I believe they're supposed to have an annual meeting. Did they do so?
Okay. They did have an annual meeting. I do not have the minutes in front of me. I'm afraid I cannot present them at this time.
Mr. Moderator, I think we can just carry that over to the next year. We'll show this set of minutes approved, and then the next set will be picked up next year.
Okay.
Mr. Moderator, is there anyone from the committee's assembly examining committee that to report on Mr. Hughes' examination? We have no such report. We do need that report. May I solicit from that committee a report from them in writing after the assembly and record it if they have done so?
Is it a moved and seconded? It's moved and seconded that that committee's report be solicited and spread in the minutes by the clerk. I believe it was given orally that that it had passed it, so it's just a question of getting it officially before us. Now, those in favor of doing it this way, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Contrary, same sign. It passes. Thank you.
Mr. Moderator, may I simply read for you the Committee of the Bills and Overtures? That has been distributed, has it not?
Yes.
Page 41. The chairman or one of the members left and said he didn't know that anyone else was left or not, and he asked if I would read it. You have a personal resolution from Teaching Elder Henry Lewis Smith of Evangel Presbytery, the major issue, the adoption of a seal and banner and a logo for the PCA reflecting our Reformed and Presbyterian heritage, the recognition of the historic continuity of the RPCS in the numbering of future PCA General Assemblies. Recommendation? That the General Assembly take no action. And then they give their rationale: present budget constraints, second, existence and use at present of a distinctive type, style, and arrangement. I think they're talking about our letterhead that's been pretty uniformly used. Some committees of the General Assembly already have logos in use. The joining and receiving action seems not to allow for renumbering of PCA General Assemblies.
You heard this recommendation. Recommendation, this is B. Those in ready to vote? No.
I think
Number eight, then.
I just assumed this, but I think there's a Jim Baird, Southern Florida, a teaching elder, I think, at this moment. I think there's a lot of value to this. I can remember in a former denominational connection, everything being on, I've seen it on graves, tombstones, and other appropriate places. And I don't want to let this part get by either. The joining and receiving and renumbering of, I've got a cold here too, from the RP building. They've been in existence a long, long time. I don't even know. I'm a poor parliamentarian, but I would just hate to see us just let this go by the board. There's something to this that needs to be examined, sir. And I hope somebody with good, clear thinking and intelligence would make a proper recommendation.
Our clerk suggests that someone could make a motion. That would be number nine. They refer it to some committee or whatnot. Yes, number nine.
John Clemens speaking on the Mid-Atlantic. I move that this the resolution be referred to the Committee on Administration for study during this year to report back to the 11th General Assembly.
Has it been moved? Seconded? Debate? Those in favor, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those opposed, same sign. Approved. It is done. That is, the amendment is done.
That is the take it home.
As a substitute, shall we take it now as an action of the committee? Having been substituted, we vote on it again. Those in favor, please raise your right hand. That's more exercise. Thank you. Contrary, same sign. Thank you.
Mr. Moderator, the second portion of the report regarding the personal resolution of the ruling elder James L. Sowell. Major issue, the adoption of a statement by the General Assembly denouncing the ERA but supporting constitutional equalization of the rights of women. Recommendation, that the General Assembly take no action. Rationale, such a statement was deemed inappropriate. Mr. Moderator, I place that motion that the Assembly take no action in response to that before the Assembly.
We have this recommendation before you that you take no action. If you will, are you ready to vote? No discussion?
Okay.
Number five.
Mr. Moderator, Gary Aitken, teaching elder from Calvary Presbytery. I would like to speak against this recommendation, and I need your help. Maybe I want to offer an amendment, but I think my amendment would reverse the meaning of this, so maybe it would be better if I offered a substitute. And if I tell you what that is, perhaps I can save all of our time.
Okay.
I'd like to premise the wording of the personal resolution with these words. Because of the plain teaching of the Word of God, the General Assembly adopts a statement. Let me see. Because of the plain teaching of the Word of God, that a statement by the General Assembly denouncing ERA but supporting constitutional equalization of the right of women be approved or be adopted.
Be adopted. Could you give the force of that is to adopt the first part of the statement and cut off the last part. Is that what you've done? Perhaps you should read it again. It'll come to the clerk. Yes. Because of plain teaching of the Word of God, a statement by General Assembly announcing
be approved or adopted.
Uh-huh. Okay. Very good. Yes, number 10.
To quote, this is Edwin Elliott from Mid-Atlantic Presbytery, teaching elder. I move to table this item.
This has been moved to be tabled. It's undebatable.
requires a majority vote. Those in favor of so doing, please raise your right hand. Those opposed, please raise your right hand. I think it passes to table it.
Moderator, I move the adoption of this report as a whole.
I move the adoption of the report as a whole and as amended. Those in favor, please raise your right hand. Those opposed, same sign. It is done.
Now, Mr. Moderator, we are at the point basically of cleaning up matters. We have things left over from administration, Mission to North America, Committee on Judicial Business, and the review and control, and the final report will be on from the Thanks Committee. I suggest we just start from the top of our list, administration, to finish up the items out of their committee.
Who takes care of this? The report of the Committee on Administration, it was not quite finished, is that right?
Mr. Moderator, I've forgotten that. Review and Control has one item left over to wait until, Administration has an item left over until we hear from the Review and Control Committee, so we'll need to delay that until after that. Then let us suggest Mission to North America.
Okay. Mission to North America. Is there anything left over in Mission to North America? What page are we on?
Four, 775, 773, 772, and 771. The committee has one remaining motion now, and that is that the report as a whole be adopted. I understand there was an amendment someone had.
Number seven?
Yes.
Okay. This was the motion I presented earlier. Is this the appropriate time?
What is it about? I forgot.
All right. I move you, sir, that the 10th General Assembly call upon the M&A Committee to plan an evangelistic program in conjunction with the 11th General Assembly, which will help to instruct and motivate both teaching and ruling elders in the work of evangelism.
Thank you. I believe that that is in order at this time. And is it seconded? Moved and seconded. As a discussion, you have something for you to say?
I did talk with committee members about this, permanent committee members. They're going to do something of this nature. It would just be good to have this on the floor. And
thank you. Thank you. Number nine, to discuss this.
Mr. Moderator, David Bryson, Central Georgia Presbytery, teaching elder. Is not the matter of instruction to be considered by the Christian Education Committee rather than Mission to North America?
What is the motion? Can you hear the motion again?
Move that the 10th General Assembly call upon the Mission North America Committee to plan an evangelistic program in conjunction with the 11th General Assembly, which will help to instruct and motivate both teaching and ruling elders in the work of evangelism.
I would rule that this is appropriate if people want to do it. The word instruct is not necessarily all education needs to be. Instruct is the only, in education, the only way to instruct. You would differ with me, but I would move that the rule that it is appropriate for this committee unless you decide otherwise. Number eight.
John Clements, speaking of the Mid-Atlantic. Move to amend by adding after the word plan the word in coordination with the CEP and COA committees, and then it continues on evangelistic. And if I get a second, I'll speak to it, sir.
Yes, okay. Order of the day, 5 o'clock. Is it possible for us to extend that half an hour?
Mr. Moderator, I think if you were to extend it, we could probably finish in another hour and a half, something like that. I think we'll take about that long. I don't know. We have review and control. We have still had judicial business. And we've got these two or three cleanups.
We are here, Mr. Number 4.
Kurt Lovelace,
teaching elder, Southern Florida. Sir, I move that we extend the orders of the day until the business is finished.
Moved and seconded that we extend the orders of the day until business is finished. This would take a two-thirds vote. Is a point of order necessary? Yes, Mr. Minister.
We'll not be able to eat.
Number two.
The dining room would be closed before another hour and a half ago.
Number four, is this your point also?
Yes, sir.
But recognize the... Can we ask, what are the hours of the dining hall? 5 to 6:30. Of course, if we take this... if we take this motion, we could, of course, at a later time cut things off and so on. I think that this is not opposed. This is not out of order. You can vote it down. It would require two-thirds vote anyhow. The motion you hear before you, if you don't like it, I'd say vote it down. Those in favor of extending it till business is over, please raise your hand. Those opposed, raise your hand. Somebody try again. 30 minutes. The orders that they call for? Is it possible for us to come back at a little bit earlier time than the usual? Number nine, I recommend.
Recognize,
and we'll see if we recommend. Go ahead.
Mr. Moderator, Bill Piper, Texas Presbytery. I move that we amend the docket to stay in session until 6 p.m.
Has been moved.
And I'd like to, may I speak to amending the docket?
I believe so. As to time.
I know some of us have late flights, and I believe that more than this can be done. If we recess now, we're going to lose more people, where if we stay in business another hour, we can perhaps even finish up. That will be very close to finishing, and people can still eat. They will not close the cafeteria as long as people are in line.
It is moved that we extend until 6 o'clock, which would give us a good bit of time. You ready to vote on that as a discussion? Those, and you take two-thirds vote. Those in favor, please raise your right hand. Those against? It fails. The order of the day is called for, but may we consider coming back a little early. Last time we came back at 7 o'clock worked very well. Somebody can give us a motion. Number four.
Richard Burgett, Calvary Presbytery, teaching elder. I'd like to move that we reconvene at 6:30.
A move that we reconvene at 6:30 is second. This also would require a two-thirds vote. Those in favor, you're discussing this question, number nine? Number nine.
Let's come back at 6 o'clock. I'm Sherman Rain from Covenant Church, Shake of Blood. I think 6 o'clock, they'd give them an hour to eat. They can't eat an hour, they're bad off.
if you want 6 o'clock, why vote this down?
That would be acceptable.
That'd be acceptable? Let's try it. 6 o'clock. Those in favor of coming back at 6 o'clock, please raise your hand. And that's pretty good. Those against, raise your hand. I would rule that that carries by two-thirds vote. Now, shall we rise and close with prayer first, and may we ask if there are necessary announcements.
Mr. Moderator, the matter of the wrap-up news release has been prepared for all commissioners to take home. This is for papers in the hometowns of former RPCES men as well as those who came to the assembly from PCA churches. A sheet of suggestions is attached to the release. Please pick up a copy from the clerk's table if you must leave before the adjournment of the assembly.
Thank you. We are told that the Knollcrest Dining Hall will not be open tonight. May not be open tonight. Just not too sure. Shall we close with prayer, and I'll ask Dr. Carl Bogue if he will lead us in closing prayer. I may say that I neglected to close with prayer with it this morning, but after you all had gone out, we in the platform had a nice little prayer meeting. Thank you.
About thy business with weariness and yet an awareness of the importance and the responsibility that is upon this body, We would ask now as we recess that there might be nourishment and that the will of, that thy will might be done in the remainder of the business, that thy name might be glorified. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Plus there'll be some more coming. I think we should sing first, but I don't want to. Yeah, but I don't want to sing. Oh, we have Mr. Ross here too. Larry Ross is right there too.
Now is a good time to pass it around, is Psalm 133. I might explain that this is a song that has been traditionally used by the old RPCN General Synod, 133rd Psalm. So take a copy, and we'll use it later on. As we begin this session we shall begin with the doxology as soon as we can, but I think we should wait for a clerk or two here. Timekeeper is the main thing. What? 133. Yeah, well, there are a whole bunch of them there. No, not really. I'll take one. I think probably we ought to begin. We're 15 minutes over. We do not have a clerk, but the clerk will surely be along. And if we begin, I suggest that this time we rise and sing the doxology, and we'll get started with what we can do. Shall we begin?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below.
Reverend William McCauley, if he will lead us in prayer, please.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us this past week. Now we ask, as we complete our business this evening, that you would minister to our needs and the needs of our congregation, the needs of our mission. We pray, Father, for your help through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Now, I have down here, are you in the middle of anything?
Yes, we have made a motion that I would be approved as a member of the whole, and there was an amendment to it.
I see. That's where we are. A motion that the report be approved as a whole, and can the amendment be presented again or read? Do you have the amendment? What committee is this again?
M&A.
Right. M&A.
Bernie Piper made the motion.
Yes. Number 10 is asking for the floor.
I'm Edwin Elliott, Jr., Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. I wish to speak against the amendment to the motion.
Shall we have, what is the point of order?
Ms. Moderator, Don Clements, speaking Elder, Mid-Atlantic.
I had just made an amendment to Mr. Kuiper's motion, and I had not spoken to it when the orders of the day were called for. I believe I have the floor, sir.
If you'll wait just a moment. Yes, shall we read the amendment to refresh our minds on what I moved before?
Mr. Moderator, Mr. Kuiper's motion was that we move
that
the 10th General Assembly call upon the Missions of North America Committee to plan an evangelistic program in conjunction with the 11th General Assembly, which will help to instruct and motivate both teaching and ruling elders in the work of evangelism.
And then that was amended, the motion to amend by Clements.
I have that in my hand, sir.
We want the motion to amend.
It's in my hand, sir.
Yes, did you read it? Oh, you have it.
Yes, sir.
Have you turned into the desk?
No, sir. The orders that they were called for and no one.
Okay. Mr. Clement, we'll read the amendment and then submit it.
I have moved to amend by adding, after the word plan, the word in coordination with the CEP and COA committee. And then it continues, and evangelistic, and so on.
Yes.
It was seconded, and I had not had a chance.
Rose, second. Will you speak for
us? Yes, sir. This is basically just a housekeeping motion. Certainly, everybody's for evangelism, and I will be, as a member of the COA, involved in organizing the General Assembly in Norfolk next year. Just wanted to make sure that we got everybody involved and doing what we can. CEP can advertise it. COA has got to write the schedule for the assembly and what happens at what time. So this just would help clarify how all that got done, sir.
Thank you. Number 10.
Edwin Elliott, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. Bernie asked me to speak against that. In the light of the funding difficulties that we have and the complications of adding multiple people to committees and subcommittees, he was concerned that this be a simple process in the hands of the M&A committee, that it be encouraged to make this part of its regular program, and that the research sources for this be drawn from those things the committee is already going to be doing, rather than going out and creating a larger, more complicated, and more expensive process and program.
That is against the amendment. Are you speaking in favor of the amendment, Mr. Number 11?
The Christian Teaching Elder Central Florida Presbytery, I move, sir, to postpone this indefinitely, both the motion and the amendment.
Postpone indefinitely is equal to lay on the table, which would in effect would pardon. What is included in your motion, sir? The amendment only? Did you say the whole thing or what?
The report of the whole.
The amendment and the main motion. The motion is to take the amendment and the main motion. I wouldn't interpret it that way. I would interpret this as a motion that has come up in connection with it and will be followed by a motion to approve the report as a whole. The motion, I take it that the motion that is affected by this motion lay on the table is the amendment to give it to various committees plus and also the main motion, which was to put it to the M&A. Now, are you ready to vote on the matter to lay on the table? Those in favor of laying it on the table, raise your hand. I believe there was, yes. Those in favor, please raise your right hand. Those opposed, raise your right hand. It is lost. So we come to the motion, the amendment first. Those in favor of the amendment, which is to add these couple of other committees to the consideration, please raise your right hand. Those opposed, I believe that amendment is lost. And those in favor of the main motion, which is for the M&A to do this, to bring this in business, and those in favor of that, raise your right hand. Thank you. And those opposed, same sign. It is carried. So that motion is carried. The motion is carried. The amendment is lost. Now we come to the report as a whole. Are we ready to move the report as a whole? Number 9.
This information only, Mr. Rodder. I'd like to get the moderator's opinion on a scripture that I feel if I didn't bring up, that would be on my conscience. Scripture states that we are not to be surety to our neighbors, I do believe. I believe it's in Deuteronomy, but I cannot locate at the present time. And we did earlier pass the point
5.6A. Excuse me, this is part of the 5 and 5. It is under attachment E on page 729, 6A.
729, 6A.
6A.
And what is the question?
Well, it refers to the last part that says the presbytery by simple motion agrees to take the responsibility for repayment of the loan should the mission fail on its obligation. I'd just like the moderator's opinion on, is that or is that not trying to agree to the scripture that we are not to be surety to our neighbors?
And my response to that would be a definite that is not opposed to scripture. The question about usury came up the other day. I made some study of that, and the quotation was given from Ezekiel. You'll find it's translated differently in the NIV in Ezekiel 18. The question of usury and interest is a big and broad subject, and I'd be glad to expatiate on it for about an hour and a half. But it is my opinion that it is not a common procedure, and that would be my opinion that you'd ask for. Further,
could I just have a few comments on why?
I don't know that I should take the time of the assembly to respond to that unless it is spoken of further. Unless there is a demand from the assembly, I do not feel I should take the time to respond. I have given my own personal opinion. And also I refer you to translations in the NIV, which were the things that discussed differently, and is a big subject. Is there a call for anything further on this matter? Perhaps we can speak privately about it further. Are we ready to move to the report as a whole? I believe we are. Do you so move? Yes, move. Yes. Pardon?
Moved and amended.
No, not amended. I didn't know that that's the way it was classified. However, those in favor of accepting the report as a whole and as amended, please say aye. I'm sorry, raise your hand. I'm confused. Thank you. Raise your hand. Thank you. Contrary, same sign. Is adopted as a whole. Thank you very much. That is complete the mission to North America, right? How about the Christian education? The CE, is that before us? We need to do that as a whole. That has been done, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was done.
That was done. These are done.
Complete
the judicial business. I'm a little bit difficult to do. If you and control is on the floor, I would rather wait until Morton gets back to judicial business, if that would be more tricky. I think review and control, is that prepared to report? Coming. I don't know what review and control is.
Jim Dickinson, ruling elder, Central Florida Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, our chairman left earlier today on a flight and requested that I, as one of the clerks, present this report.
Closer to the mic, please.
This is Jim Dickinson, ruling elder, Central Florida Presbytery. Our chairman left earlier today and requested that I, as one of the clerks, present this report to the assembly. So I request your permission to do so.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
So maybe pray. Most loving Father and giver of all wisdom and discernment, we plead with you at this time, near the close of our great assembly, that you would uphold us in our weariness and enable us in a spirit of meekness and humility to transact the business concerning the review and control of our own presbytery in a way pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
This is on page 1701. rather lengthy report, and I don't know how long this report usually takes, because this is my first time in the General Assembly. So I know it's a unique privilege for me to be able to address the Assembly as a first-time commissioner, and I plead for your indulgence in doing that. But what I would suggest, Mr. Moderator, is that we dispense with the readings of item 1 and 2, which were business referred to the committee and major issues discussed.
Well, that is okay.
I would also seek the desire of the floor in the reading of item number 3, which I don't desire to read. Would rather you'd look at that, and if you have any problems, maybe bring them up or have any concerns. And if not, I would move that item 3, which is recommendations concerning the review of presbytery minutes, which also includes responses to directives from the 9th General Assembly on exceptions to presbytery minutes. And if there are no problems with that, I would move that we adopt that.
Could you perhaps summarize by saying which Presbyterian minutes were accepted without exception? You have them listed here, I believe. Is it 8? Is it 8R?
Yes, sir. The minutes that were of this year that were presented to the 10th General Assembly that are approved without exception are item Roman numeral 3B. Minutes recommended for approval without exceptions or notations. Of course, you're familiar that notations are items that minor items or discrepancies in the minutes that will be sent to the presbytery, but will not be brought before the floor of the assembly as exceptions.
Thank you.
And then,
now, what is 3A1? That is
3A.
That's the ninth, isn't it?
3A is a report of on presbytery responses to directives concerning exceptions cited by the 9th General Assembly.
Good.
According to our standards, these presbyteries must respond to specific exceptions taken at the 9th General Assembly, must respond to our committee, and we list those responses as satisfactory responses or as inadequate responses or as presbyteries that did not respond at all.
Do you have a recommendation for item A, 2, and 3? These are the ones not responding, right? The recommendations come later, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So I would rule or suggest that B, C, and D, as you say, should be summarized rather than read as a whole.
Okay. Again, item B, are minutes recommended for approval without exceptions or notations. You see the presbyteries with the specific minute date that those minutes of those meetings, whether stated, called, or whatever, are approved and the division of votes. And also, item C, minutes recommended for approval with notations. You see the list of presbyteries and the dates of the meetings and also the division of votes of the committee. Then item D, which are minutes recommended for approval with exceptions. Again, you see the list of presbyteries, the specific date of the minute that had an exception recorded. These exceptions will require a response to the 11th General Assembly from the presbytery.
I am not clear what we should do. It's easy for us to recommend, for us to accept item B, minutes recommended for approval, B and C. I'm not clear what should be our policy toward B. Perhaps we could do B and C first, and then would that be proper? Why don't you recommend the approval of B and C? We have looked at the beginning material, and this is fine. It's very detailed, as you notice, and that is fine for the presbytery's concerns. Probably we should look over to the recommendations, and you just present the recommendations for us. We should take them up one by one. That's the best. Very good. Yes, on page 1705.
Okay. We turn to page 1705, item 4, other recommendations. Number 1, that the stated clerk of the General Assembly be asked to send a copy of Westminster Presbytery's response to directives concerning exceptions cited by the 9th General Assembly to the stated clerks of all presbyteries as a model for future responses to exceptions.
I've heard the recommendation. Is there any question or...
All right. Did they? If not? Microphone 4? Yeah. Oh, not microphone 4. Yes.
Personal privilege. You skipped over the one item that hurts deeply in my heart. That E-minute not received for review. And I just want to apologize to the General Assembly for that, for our presbytery and for the stated clerk. Those minutes were my responsibility last year. There's a new stated clerk. And these minutes were held up by a mismatch, that's a Greek word, in our presbytery, and between the presbytery and the printer. And the present stated clerk apologizes too. He met with the board, but we want to make it public that we don't do things like that lightly, and we apologize for not getting them in on time.
If there's no objection, I think we should take note of that.
Mr. Moderator, yes. I think he really is speaking more to recommendation number 3, where there is a specific recommendation.
Okay, we'll hold that until we come to number 3. Number 1 has been read and recommended. No question. If there's no question, that one will be adopted. Number 1 is adopted. Recommendation number 2.
Number 2, that the stated clerk of the General Assembly direct a reprimand to Pacific, Southern Florida, and Western Carolina Presbytery for failing to respond to the exception cited by the 1981 General Assembly in the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Review and Control of Presbytery. 9-4-1 again.
This is before you, and it is moved that we adopt this by the committee. Is there any reaction, debate, question? If not, I'll ask you to vote on this matter. Those in favor, please raise your hand. A question on the first? Number 8, just a moment. Number 8.
Mike Craig, Southern Florida. What is a reprimand?
We're dealing with number 2. What is a reprimand, you say? A reprimand is simply a statement to the effect that they are in violation of the regulations. I don't know what a reprimand is. It's, I believe it's a slap on the wrist. Something further?
I just think the will of the Committee on Commissioners is just to bring that before the Assembly. We as a committee did not want to cite, ask it to be cited. We just felt like it needed to be brought before the Assembly more strongly, because it is stated that it's the rule of the Assembly that you respond to these exceptions. And we had announced in meetings earlier in the week that we on presbyteries that we did not get responses from. Some presbyteries had beautiful responses and letters, and I'll state Westminster Presbytery had a nice response. That's why we wanted to list it for
a reprimand. Of course, is not a fine nor a jail sentence,
yes,
but it is a reprimand. Number 8.
I would move an amendment that we replace the word reprimand by letter. I have a second.
Is there a second for that? It moves and seconded that we replace the word reprimand by letter. I understand the force of that.
Since we don't know what the word means, I'd rather use a word that we can define.
Well, I know what the word letter means versus reprimand. Reprimand is a word that is a slap on the wrist, and letter, of course, is not. Those in favor, you must make up your own mind on these things, I guess. Those in favor, please, of the amendment, please raise your hand, right hand. Those against the amendment, and the amendment failed. Number 2, then, is before you, and those in favor, please raise your hand. Thank you. Those against, same time. The reprimand is adopted for the presbyteries listed. Number 3.
Okay.
Now, number 3 is the one that we just had in mind. And we have been told that there was a mistake between the stated clerk and the presbytery, stated clerk and the printer. Would you like to speak further? Number 4. Mike 4.
Mr. Moderator, there's one thing we didn't discover when we went before you the other day. What we didn't know, there were some exceptions that hadn't been responded to for 1980 that should have been. I have a feeling that we did respond to all the exceptions that ever have been brought against us. And one year we didn't have, and I thought it was 1980, we didn't have any exceptions. That's the thing we just passed. We plead guilty to not sending the minutes in for 1981. They are there in very good condition, about 100 copies all stapled together, but you didn't get them. But the exceptions I can't understand. We have responded to the committee.
Thank you. Number 7.
Ms. Moderator, Stan Levine, teaching elder, Western Carolina. I have to beg your difference, Mr. Brother. There was one exception noted in the last minute of the Ninth General Assembly against the Presbyterian of Western Carolina. And this has not been received by the General Assembly.
Point of order, number 9.
Mr. Moderator, Charles Drinker, teaching elders, essential secretaries. This number 3 does not mention these exceptions. We are talking about something which is not in the recommendation at all.
The exceptions were also mentioned, but what was spoken about mainly was the matter of the problem of the minutes between the city clerk and the printer. And the question is what to do about this now. And is it possible for you to move, sir, something about an explanation having been received, and that the minutes will be forthcoming as soon as possible?
We talked with this gentleman who is the past clerk of Western Carolina Secretary. We also talked with the present clerk of the Western Carolina Secretary, and it was our decision after talking with them that the reason that they did not send the minutes in is because they had not had them back from the printer yet in a bound portion, in a bound manner to send in. And they weren't required to send in printed, bound minutes, just what most of the presbyteries did, send in Xerox copies bound, which they had, and the presbytery had deferred, as this gentleman said, he had the minutes ready to send in, and the presbytery would not allow him to send those minutes in, but sent them to the printers, which I understand was that the printers were holding them and just didn't have them printed yet. And the directors of the General Assembly don't say send them in if you can, but says get them here. And this was the only presbytery that didn't get their minutes here, regardless of the reason. We just felt like that the reason that they gave was not sufficient. They did not have any undue circumstances that they couldn't send them in.
It appears that the committee was aware of all these factors and has made this recommendation, the recommendation before you. Unless anybody amends it, we proceed to vote on it. Those in favor of the recommendation number 3, please raise your hand. Thank you. Those opposed, please raise your hand. It is carried. Number 4.
Okay. Number 4, that the General Assembly adopt recommendation number 9 of the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Administration, page 172, with the amendment 3 copies instead of copies in line 2. So moved.
You've heard the motion.
You might want to refer to
that, page 172. Could you tell us what it's about? 3 copies of what?
Yes, so this has to do with an overture that was sent in to the Ninth General Assembly, and then that was referred to the that the Assembly affirmed. I believe it was overture number 18 of the Ninth General Assembly, and our committee on commissioners of administration recommended this item 9 in their report on page 172. What the committee of commissioners would on review and control would propose the approval of this recommendation, just with the amendment that in line 2 would say 3 copies rather than copies. That would read then each presbytery clerk is to provide the stated clerk of the General Assembly with 3 copies of all the presbytery minutes that ought to be reviewed 60 days prior to the opening of the assembly. I'd speak further to that if I could.
You've heard the motion, you understand what it's about, and you used to speak for it. Okay, go ahead.
That's just basically what I want to say is, any of you that have been on the Committee of Commissioners for Review and Control know that it's a tremendous responsibility to read all of these minutes in such a manner that we, in full conscience, can recommend them to the Assembly with these exceptions and notations. The more work that you can get done ahead of time, which this particular recommendation would allow that to do. We did this year. Some copies were sent, but there were some presbyteries that, of course, did not send in any, and we had to go to Dr. Smith's permanent file and sign our life away to be able to sit and read his minutes that he had. So we tried our best to get a hold of all the minutes that were present for review, and it would greatly help this commission, since it's not a commission that, and we have a recommendation further down to help to provide continuity from year to year. That seemed to be our biggest problem, was that we had the majority of commissioners that were on the committee had never, really didn't know what our responsibilities were, had never been there before. And anything that we can get done ahead of time to help organize this would greatly help, and we wouldn't miss so much time off the floor and so forth. And I believe you'd find a better job of reading and proofing the minutes of the presbytery. And we asked for the amendment of 3 copies, because then 2 copies would be allowed to be mailed out to 2 different people on the commission, which is what one of the recommendations of the guidelines is, that 2 commissioners look over those minutes. And if one could be kept by Dr. Smith in a permanent file, and 2 could be sent out to 2 separate commissioners.
Very good. Number 6, Mike 6.
T.H. McCauley, Tennessee Valley. Ruin Elder. We find the chairman to be a little bold.
Shall we proceed to the vote? Is it very clear? Number four, remember that back there on page 172, number 9 was delayed until this point. If we take this up now, then we can finish that report, I believe. Ready to vote? Those in favor of the recommendation number 4, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those in opposed, same sign. It is carried. And that should be noted also on number 172, page 172. Yes.
Question regarding the effect of this motion. Does this motion have to be moved again by the Committee on Administration since it's a part of the report of the Committee on Administration?
I don't think so. This is an action of the General Assembly. This is an action of the General Assembly if we adopt it, and then go back to adopt the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Administration as a whole.
But if it's already been adopted, then it would have to be moved to reconsider if somebody has something to object to. Is that correct?
I would not think so. I would think that this item is... was delayed to this point.
Right,
now we adopt it.
Has it been adopted at this point now?
If we're about to vote on it. Okay. Isn't that correct? We haven't voted on it yet. We haven't voted on it yet. Preparing to vote on number 3, on number 4. Yeah, and number 10, yes. Mike, number 10. I'm told we didn't. I don't know.
I asked you, what was the effect of the vote on it?
Oh, yes, what was the effect of the vote? And then I asked if we had voted on it. Well, I believe that we have voted on it, and I believe that the effect of it, and I wish, of course, that we had Dr. Smith here, but at page 172, it was delayed until this report should come in. This report comes in, and the Assembly adopts it. If the Assembly adopts it, it's adopted. And at that time, the business of that was presented then would be finished, and that report could then be concluded as a whole. That'd be my interpretation. I may be wrong. That's my interpretation. Number 10.
H.R. Patterson, Calvary Presbytery. I thought we were voting on the amendment of 3 copies.
Yes, I think you are correct. We vote on 3 copies first. That was the motion that we took. That was the motion that we took, the 3 copies. Now we should vote on the point as a whole,
number 9 of 172. It is the number 9, 172 that is recommended by this committee. Number 10?
Mr. Moderator, Frank Moser, teaching elder Ascension Presbytery. Ascension Presbytery was the originator of the overture which the Assembly adopted last year, asking that the committee, that the Assembly establish a permanent subcommittee or committee, or refer this to an existing subcommittee or committee, that is the whole matter of the review and control of presbyteries, so that there could be continuity and better exercise or oversight of these minutes without some of the loose ends that the committee ran into this year, as our member or the member from Ascension found out. So, Mr. Moderator, I would speak against the adoption of Recommendation 9, and I would ask us to defeat it. And in its place, then, if we could, I would be glad to amend the motion as a whole to resubmit this so that they would again consider giving it to a permanent committee, and perhaps we could direct them at this point to give it to the permanent subcommittee on judicial business.
Am I correct that your presbytery set up an overture which was answered, or which was
answered
considered in number 9?
It was answered in the affirmative last year.
Yes.
And then recommendation 9 now is the response of the Committee on Administration,
yes,
to the overture which last year's Assembly adopted.
And you feel that there's not sufficient response until you would wish to recommit. Is that the idea?
Basically, yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Point of order, number 7.
Moderator, we're only considering item 4. Under this report that we're report on committee of commissioners on review and control of presbyteries, number 9 is the commissioner
moderated 10 minutes sir.
Of commissioners report for administration, and that has to come up again because it's been left open in our report. But we're only considering item 4 on this report now.
If you will read item 4, it says that we should adopt the recommendation number 9 of the report.
But that report has been held open until this committee
right.
reported, so we could come back and close our report.
That's right. The time is up for the consideration of this, so that means that we come to a vote on number 4, right? I believe not. I believe we had voted. Now, let's get this straight. I believe we had voted on the amendment to number 4. There was an amendment proposed in number 4 that 3 copies instead of copies in line 2.
That's why I asked you.
I'm wrong. I'm wrong, and that's why you asked me. We adopted and voted on number 4, which is to adopt the recommendation with the amendment. So we have adopted it rightly or wrongly. I personally feel that we have adopted it rightly. I wish Mr. Smith were here. And that clears the report of the committee on administration on page 172 so that that committee can now be approved on the whole. So we're all set.
Yeah.
Number 10. I'd like to ask a question first, Pastor Bill Rosen, Warrior Presbytery. Which one are you getting ready to approve as a whole, the committee on administration? Not at the moment.
Okay.
That is available, but when we finish, that will come after we finish these recommendations of this committee. Thank you. Shall we go on to number 5?
Committee on Administration consider the future operations of the Committee of Commissioners on Review and Control of Presbyteries and suggest a means to provide a mechanism for continuity in its operations from year to year. So moved.
You heard that.